Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening. How are you guys? I'm very glad to be here with you tonight. Very happy. Always happy to be with you guys. Has anybody seen that new movie? There's a new movie out, Willy Wonka. But there's a Mexican rendition of it. It's called Willy Chancla. What's a chancla? But it's something else, too. I asked a little boy, what's a chancla? He goes, that's a thing they beat you with. I go, what? You know, out of all the descriptions in the Bible, when we think of Christian, you don't think fighter. You know, you don't think scrapper. That doesn't come to mind. What comes to mind? Peace. Well, maybe not here. Maybe not Valley, but peacemaker. You know, peaceful. I'm a lover, not a fighter, not a scrapper. And we're looking at chapter 6 today, Ephesians chapter 6. And we're probably not going to get into that part, but it places an emphasis on the warrior part, on us being warriors. You know, and this, we're us on the battlefield, an invisible war, a cosmic conflict, and where the hearts and the mind for us human beings is at stake. And you know, when I came to Christ, when I came to Jesus years ago, 1984, I surrendered, and I gave my heart, man, and peace came in immediately, and I got forgiveness, I got joy. Yeah, it was so, the forgiveness for all the stuff I did to, is Elena here? You know what, her car overheated. Yeah, so she's not here tonight, so I could talk about her. Huh? No, she's watching, she's praying for me. But I got that new start, that reboot, like we all did, and I loved it. But you know what, that day that happened, I entered the arena. You all did, guys. The arena of the Christian battlefield. On that day, the devil lost us, lost this battle for our souls. And now that I'm God's, man, the devil has an agenda, a scheme, a plan. Remember, he can't take your salvation, and he can't take your life. He can't kill you. Your salvation is intact. It's in Jesus. But he can try and handicap you. He can try to make you impotent. Try and disable you. Try and take your joy. Try and take your fervor. Try and make you doubt. Try and steal your passion. But on that day I chose to be God's friend, this other thing happened where I became the devil's adversary. And that's where that conflict takes place. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Is it real? This thing is real. It's real. Stuff happens and you're going, that is not a coincidence. And chapter 6 talks about that. Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the walk. The first part talks about the walk, and then it gets into the armor, and he shifts to the armor Paul does, and he says, stand, and don't be surprised when you go through hard times. Doesn't he say that? Don't be going, oh, what's going on here? You know, when adversity hits you, and anyone who desires to live godly, you're going to get hit. You're going to get slammed. And what Jesus said about John the Baptist, he said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We've got to be aggressive. We got to fight. How do you fight back? By coming to church. Physically, you guys doing what you're doing tonight, coming to church, reading the Bible, praying, worshiping the Lord. That's how we fight back. So I wanted to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there's a beatitude. It says, blessed are those who hunger for you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for you, God, for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I want to pray for those who are here tonight, whether you're here or online. You tell us to hunger for you. You tell us to thirst for you. and we will be satisfied. I pray you satisfy us today. Satisfy our souls. Fill us up. Fill us up with your presence, with your Holy Spirit, and help me as I share my heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, it's Ephesians chapter 6, and before I go on, I want to tell you guys a story about a guy that he takes his family to the Holy Land, and he's on a trip. How many of you guys been to Israel? It's a great tour. It's a great trip. And this guy takes his wife and his suegra. Suegra in Spanish means mother-in-law. And the tour is going well, and the mother-in-law gets sick, and deathly sick, and she passes away. So he has to make a decision here. The mortician comes to him and says, you got two options. You can either bury your mom, your mother-in-law here in beautiful Jerusalem for $200, or send her back to the United States. It'll cost you $50,000, 50 grand. And the guy thinks about it, and he says, no, I want to go ahead and send her back. And the mortician says, what? That does not make sense. Why would you want to do that? He says, well, the last time somebody died here, they rose from the dead, and I can't take that chance. He loved his suegra, huh? God, that pastor's gacho. You know what that means? Messed up. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 8. I want to read it. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. You know, I never stopped doing that. My folks are in heaven. But even as they got older, as they became older, I continued to honor them. I continued to visit them. And I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging. But because you do that, you set a precedent. And that's how my boys are going to be with me. That's how they're going to treat me. But I honored, and not just with money. Money isn't everything. Our parents want our time. They want our hearts. And it says, so that it may turn out well for you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, render service as to the Lord and not to people. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive this back from the Lord, whether slave or free. So children, obey your parents. And you see the breakdown in our world. It's not happening so much. You know, it says honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with a promise. You know, the word for children is technon. It means offspring that live with you, that are living at your home. It could be babies, it could be teens, it could be adults. My boy lived with us till he was 30. You know, I don't know if that's a Mexican thing or not, but he stayed with us until he was 30. He was a good boy. He went to school. He worked. He respected us. And I didn't mind having him there. I liked it. And he didn't move out until he had to. But the word obey is actionary. That's an actionary word. The word honor is lifelong. It's an attitude. We're to honor our parents. Like I said earlier, I honored my folks. And there's this thing in Mark, I want to show it to you guys, where the Pharisees. These Pharisees were, they were pretty bad people. And Jesus kept calling them on it. He had this indictment against them. It says in Mark 7, it says, he was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother. And the one who speaks evil of father or mother is certainly to be put to death. But you say, if a person says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban. That is, given to God. You no longer allow him to do anything for his father or his mother, thereby invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down. And you do many such things as that. He was coming against it. And these guys look for loopholes. These Pharisees, they're looking for a loophole here for religious reasons. Probably got angry at their parents. Parents were older. They cut them off. Said, I'm not talking to you. I'm not taking care of you. Parents may have been destitute, poor, didn't have food. And they try to sound pious. So whatever I would give you, I'm going to put it in the sacred nest egg. Like a loophole. I'm going to put it in the sacred nest egg, man. I can't help you, mom and dad. And Jesus came against them. He says, you know what? You try and invalidate God's word for your own horrible traditions. And Jesus called them on it. He says, you guys are evil. He wouldn't put up with it. And then you look at his example in John 19, 26, 27. He said while he was on the cross, he was looking out for his mom. And he said, when therefore Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. She adopted him out to her. And then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. And that was John. Even as he was suffering on the cross, man, Jesus was thinking about his mom, still honoring his mom. You know, to honor parents implies respect. You know, as a kid, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't always very respectful. I talked back a lot. Had a big mouth. I challenged my dad a lot. My brothers remind me. They love to remind me of that. So, yeah, you had a big mouth. And then once I got saved, though, I knew, man, I was wrong. I was convicted. And I had to start respecting them and loving them and treating them right and honoring them. You know, you look at the phases in life. At first, mom and dad are heroes. They're superheroes. Then this transformation takes place. And the kids start looking at us like geeks. You guys are geeks. Then they have their own kids, which happened to us. And they go, man, mom and dad, you guys are amazing. Thank you for doing us right. You raised us right. You know, I'm so glad. But this is the first commandment with a promise. You know, why is it right? Because God said it. It's the sixth commandment. Honor your father and mother. Obey your parents. It's on God's top 10 list. And what's the promise? What's the promise, guys? Long life. Quality. Quantity. But I think you also get quality. What was the penalty for disobeying your parents in the Old Testament? It wasn't a guest appearance on Dr. Phil or Jerry Springer. What was the penalty for rebellion? You guys remember? They stone you. Children who didn't listen to their parents didn't live long. You know, and there's a principle from that, you know, the commandment. My parents gave me advice, and they probably give you guys advice. Your parents gave you advice too. Don't hang out with those guys. Don't hang out with those girls. My parents warned me about a friend when we were in eighth grade. Don't hang out with Johnny. You know, stay away from Johnny. But you don't know him like I do, man. He's my friend. He's going to get you in trouble. And you know, I ended up listening to them. And his life went this way. And my life stayed this way. And he got into drugs, drug addiction, died young, passed away prematurely. And some of our friends are like that Eddie Haskell. Anybody watch Leave It to Beaver? That's funny. It's an old black and white show. The Eddie Haskell was always a conniver, man. He was a snake. And some of our friends are like that Eddie Haskell, you know, always trying to get over. And his parents, Beaver's parents and Wally's parents were always warning him. Watch out for that guy. And then verse 4 says, you fathers, do not provoke your children. I really want to hit that. I don't know why. I felt a real emphasis. I wanted to emphasize on that. And it says, why are dads addressed here? Why not moms? Why does it say fathers? Do not exasperate. Do not provoke. Because we tend to neglect our kids, our children. Feel like, hey, it's not my role. You know, I take care of the bills. I work. I take care of the outside work. The trash, the lawn. It's for you, you wifey. The second reason is dads seem to be harsher, the harsher one. Got deeper voices, we're a little bigger, seem to be a little more intimidating. And you know, my mom, the thing is, when we were growing up, my mom wasn't afraid to hit us. It's crazy, man. She would hit us. When my dad wasn't around, my mom didn't say, wait till your dad gets home, man. Whatever was handy. Right? Whatever was handy, man. One time she hit me with a package of weenies, man. Bam! You better listen to me. But it's a functionality issue. We as men are the head of the house. We are the head. And I was thinking about this, my boys, when they were little. I was saved at the same time that my boy was born, Joseph. And even as a believer, honestly, man, some of Raphael Riesel, that's my dad, bled into me. I mean, you're a product of your environment. You can't help it. And my dad always seemed like he was frustrated with us. He was always hitting us first and asking questions later. And he was really quick to anger. Like I said, he was frustrated with us. And he worked in the fields as a kid since he was 10. And he really wasn't around my grandfather very much. It was not an ideal situation. My grandfather was in Mexico. My dad was here in the States. But I inherited this quick to anger. I inherited it, and I hated it. I detested it, man. I hated succumbing to those ways. And I was a Christian. I was a believer. And I so coveted these guys. I'd see Tony Aguilar. That's my friend. I'd see Tony Aguilar, so gentle, so tender, so loving with his daughters, and so patient. They do a lot of talking, man. And I wasn't that way. I was just too quick to anger. I saw Pascual Munoz is the same way. So gentle. And I begged God. Oh, Lord, I want to be that way. I hate this, Lord. I don't want to be like my dad. Please, God. The thing that really hurt me was when I would talk to my son, my older boy, Joseph. I would see the fear in his eyes. Whenever he'd get in trouble, he'd get this fear in his eyes, you know. I'd raise my voice, and he'd get scared, and what he would do, he would lie. As soon as he was in trouble, man, he would just go to lying, because he didn't want the chancla. He didn't want to get spanked, you know? And I thank God for his patience with me, man. And I remember when he was about 8, there was a window that got broken, and I was investigating and looking around, who did this, and both of them were real quiet about it, and so I finally asked him, did you do it? No. Man, you liar. Why do you lie? All you do is lie. So I was already praying, guys. I had already a relationship with God. I was spiritual. So I went in the backyard. I go, Lord, what's up? Why are these guys such liars? And you know what? God turned it on me. It's just because of you. Me. Yeah, you. They're afraid of you. He's afraid of you. And then he showed me all these incidents where I lost my temper. All those times I spanked him and was hard on him. We are a product of our environment. Man, thank God for Jesus. He alone can change us, guys. Amen. He alone, only Jesus can change us, man. But we have to want it. And my wife remembered that day. That incident, we all do. I remember I went to the backyard and I go, come here, I want to talk to you. And I got on my knees. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I've been so hard on you. Will you forgive me? Dad, don't do that, Dad. He got uncomfortable. Dad, don't do that. No. Let me finish. It's wrong. I do not want you to be afraid of me anymore. And the Lord broke me that day. God broke that. Did I become gentle? Did I become loving immediately, right away? No. What's this sanctification thing? Isn't it a lifelong process? It's a process, you know. Philippians 1:6, can you guys put that up there? For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. Among you, I don't like that. It says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to finish that work until the day he comes back. I had to learn. You know, the Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the angry man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I had to learn that. And the change did happen, but it was slow. It was gradual. What kind of God do we have? Is he a crock pot? Is he crock pot God, or is he fast food? Is he microwave? Tell me, somebody. Yeah, it's slow, but it's permanent. That's what's good. It's permanent, man. God, change me. Change me. And he continues to change me. But let me tell you what I didn't do, what we didn't do as a family. We didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You guys know what that means? I see families do this. They're real harsh, and they go from one extreme to the other, one spectrum to the other. They're ultra-disciplinarians, and then they don't do nothing. There's no discipline at all. The Bible says, discipline your son. Don't hold back the rod. It says that. We're to discipline. If you love them, you can prevent their death. I used to work at juvenile hall, and I would see a lack of discipline in a child's life led to an early death. But we didn't do that. We didn't stop correcting. We didn't stop disciplining them. But I was doing it right. I was doing it correctly. When I would get angry, I'd back away. I'd say, okay, you take over, Lena. You handle it. And we have a great church here. Pastor Ron would teach us. He taught us the parenting stuff. Yeah, we go to the retreats, man. Do this. We were under that. We learned. We listened. We'd attend. And we would give them consequences. That's a great teacher, guys. Okay, you did this. Well, I'm going to do this. And my boys learn, dad's predictable. But they're no longer afraid. And I read about some of these guys in the Bible, these great men, these men of God, and I'm troubled. I'm so troubled. They're so passive with their kids. I just can't believe it. I just keep reading it over and over. And Eli the priest, he had a couple knucklehead boys. They weren't boys, they were men. Eli and Hophni, or Hophni and Phinehas, that's who they were. The Bible called them worthless. They were fools. They were involved in flagrant sin. And you know what? Eli never lifted a finger. He never crossed them. They didn't respect him. They didn't take him seriously. Therefore, they died young. And you look at King David, one of my heroes. I love David. I admire him, but he was so passive. Great man of God. Poet, warrior, but not a good dad. Not a good father. There's this domino effect started, and this is what happened in the Bible. One of the sons raped his stepsister. He violated her. David did nothing. Nada. Didn't do nothing. So the other brother, Absalom, takes matters into his own hands and he kills that brother. David does nothing. Nada. That brother's a fugitive. Absalom, he brings him back. He doesn't restore him. He doesn't talk to him. Gives him the cold shoulder. Puts him on the leva. Remember the leva? The leva is silent treatment in Spanish. Gives him that silent treatment. Which is the worst punishment of all, I think. That Cold War is the worst thing of all. So he leads a revolt against his dad. He puts together this coup. So I'm going to overthrow my dad's kingdom. Imagine that. Your own son wanting to kill you. Your own flesh and blood. Your own son. Is that in the Bible? Hey, guys, do you think it's in the Bible? How many say I think it's in the Bible? You're not sure? It's in the Bible. It's in there. Why is it in there? To teach us, not to follow their example. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says this. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they're written for our instructions, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. It's for us. This history that God puts in there. He doesn't edit it. He doesn't make them look good. He tells the whole truth. These people tell on each other. But I think David should have dialogued with Absalom. He should have talked to him, should have crossed him, should have had that conversation, should have checked him. He never did. Son, what you did was wrong. You killed my son. That was your brother. Yeah, I know you thought you were doing right. I know you thought you were revenging your sister. And then Absalom man said, but what about you? What about you, Dad? You're sorry. You neglected us. Where you been? And David could have said, you know what? I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me for being passive, for being weak, for being absent, for not doing what I should, for neglecting you guys. What are these men of God doing? I think they were too busy with the kingdom. That can happen to us. That can happen to your pastors. I didn't let it happen. I was not going to let it happen. Then he could have came back and told Absalom, you still got to pay. You got to leave. I have to banish you. This is your consequence. And Absalom did die prematurely. And the reason Paul put that in there in Ephesians 6 was because us men tend to be passive. We tend to be, you know, delegate this. Hey, wifey, you take care of the house stuff. This is the house stuff, raising the children. You know, I didn't. I was very hands-on. And when I did fade out some, my family suffered. So I stayed hands-on. And I'm not bragging. We just followed what we were taught here. But what God wants, what I want to see you guys, you men, be spiritual leaders. I love it when you guys are spiritual leaders. We do our Bible study on Thursdays. Man, I got some good guys. They know the word. They're men of prayer. Yeah. I think they're here somewhere. But it's, God wants the man to say, hey, church is tomorrow. Let's go. Come on, family. And when something goes down, God wants the man to say, let's pray. But to do it in a gentle, in a loving way, not as a dictator, you know, but in a loving way, to serve our families into submission, to love them into submission, the way Jesus loves us. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Fences. It's with Denzel Washington, and he's a great actor. I like him a lot. And he has his son. His son is about 16, and there's this one part where the son asked him, and he asked him sincerely. He said, Dad, how come you don't like me? And the dad looks at him and says, come here. Like you? What law in the universe says I gotta like you? You eat, don't you? Yeah. Why is that? Because of you? Yeah, you got that right. You have a roof over your head, right? He says, yeah. Why is that? Because of you. You got that right. So you know what I want you to right now? Get that stupid idea out of your head that I got to like you. It's horrible. It's horrible, man. Because it's never going to happen, he said. Never going to happen. And you know, I saw that and I didn't like it. Honestly, I did not enjoy that because I've seen that happen way too many times where dads do that. He provoked that boy. They ended up fighting. And the boy left the home. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction in the Lord. Encourage them. Love on them. My boys keep inviting me to their stuff. On their vacations. Dad, you want to come to a vacation with us? Dad, you want to come over? Evidently, they enjoy our company. I don't know why. Why do you keep asking me, man? I guess because they love us. They respect us. And we raise them up in Jesus. Sometimes I don't understand it. I think it works, man. Raising your kids up in God, it works. Okay, I want to go ahead, go to that last part, Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. Paul is talking about a work ethics. And I don't want to read that. I think I've already read it. I'm having a good one. My parents passed on this great work ethic to us. They modeled it, you know, and I saw that it's connected. I had never seen that before until this morning where it says we train up our kids in the Lord, but the way you train them up is to teach them how to work, to be good workers. My parents are both good workers, you know, and my dad worked in the fields as a kid. He vowed once he turned of age to get out of the fields. He went into the restaurant business as a busboy, dishwasher, and Nueva Laredo. And then when he came to Bakersfield, he went to go work for Freddy's Top of the Hill. And my dad never missed work. He never missed work. He pushed. He was ambitious. He was driven. And him, along with my mom, taught us that work ethic, to work honest, to work hard. He promoted out of there, went to go work for Sanguera Buick as a salesman. His clientele were Spanish speakers. He did well. He worked hard. He worked evenings. Never complained. I remember my dad was gone at night. He'd come home about 9:30. Never complained. My mom trained us at home, taught us how to wash dishes, taught us how to do laundry, how to clean toilets. She did her daughter-in-law's good. There's four boys and one girl. My mom taught us, man. She wouldn't let us be lazy. I've had three jobs my whole life. My first job was at a restaurant. How many of you guys remember Sambo's? I used to work at Sambo's as a dishwasher, busboy, eventually became a cook. I left when I was 21 to go into probation, juvenile hall. I stayed there until I came into the pastorate at the age of 33. And something really important happened to me while I was working at juvenile hall. I got saved. And it changed everything. It changed the dynamics of everything, man. How I viewed my job. Prior to that, we were like cops, turnkeys. But it changed. I had purpose. My brother and I both worked there. Our jobs became our ministry. Our lives became very purposeful. And it leads me to a question. I'm going to end real quick pretty soon. A question I ask, why do we work? Why are we out in the workforce? Why are we supposed to be out there in the workforce? What is the purpose for us working? I'm talking about men and women, people in general. Is it to provide for our families? Kinda. But you know who provides for us? The Lord. The Lord takes care of us. But I think God wants us to work hard. God wants us to go that extra mile. I would always go that extra mile because of my parents. Even here, guys, I always go that extra mile for my church because I love you guys. Yeah, I love you guys. And even my jobs, I'd always go that extra mile, for it is the Lord Christ whom we work for. Your paycheck may be signed by PG&E, but it's the Lord Christ whom you work for. Paycheck may be signed by Tehachapi State Prison, but it's the Lord Christ whom you work for. Your paycheck may be signed by Walmart, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ whom you work for. You may be a stay-at-home mom, but it's the Lord Christ whom you work for. So in answer to that question, the reason God wants us to work, he wants us out there shining, being a witness. What does it say? Shine the light of Jesus, shaking the salt. Being that good witness. And that means all the more reason why we should be good workers. The best workers. Not lazy. Not sorry. The best workers. And don't just do it while the boss is around either. What do you call that, guys? Kiss-ups? Paul calls them men pleasers. Don't be a man pleaser. I had a director at Juvenile Hall, and I'll end with this. Man, he was hard. And I wasn't sure. I don't think he liked me very much. And he was critical of all of us, all the group counselors. He just, criticism. And we didn't get much positive affirmation from him. And it's kind of how it is in certain jobs, you know. And I left in 93. And I remember my friend of mine's father passed away. And he worked for General Services. And he was the director for General Services. So Kirk asked me to do the funeral. And you know how we do funerals. It's a graduation. We throw down the gospel in a gentle and loving way. It was ministry, man. It was good. It was sweet. It was short, but sweet. And a few minutes later, I went back to the hall to visit one of our parishioners' boys. And I ran into him in the hallway, the director. His name was Gary, and he goes, hey, Hector, you did really good. I'm proud of you. And it touched my heart. It touched my heart, man. It was from God. You know, that affirmation, it was from God. God saying, hey, here's a reward. Verse 7 and 8 say, with goodwill, render service to the Lord, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that he will receive back from the Lord. What a blessing. When you work hard, man, you get blessed. All right, let's go ahead and pray out. And thank you guys for coming tonight. I love you guys. And I want to go ahead and call the prayer people up. And Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the verses, Lord. And thank you for your patience with us, God. Thank you for the verses, Lord, in Ephesians 6. Help us as children to honor our parents. Help us as parents to get along with our kids and not exasperate them, but to discipline them, Lord, to be hands-on, you know, and to be active and not be passive in our children's lives. Help us in those areas, God. Thank you for your forgiveness, God. Thank you for restoring relationships. And help us also, Lord, to be good workers, to be good, outstanding workers, Lord. And if you're not saved and you don't know the Lord, I'm not going to assume that everybody here is saved. If you don't know the Lord and you would like the Lord in your heart, I want to give you that invitation, that opportunity. You know, if you don't know God and you want him in your heart, all you got to do is say yes. Yes, Jesus, I want you. I want you in my life. And just do it from your heart. And if that's you, come up. We've got people up here. We've got some people up here that would love to pray for you. Don't put it off. Don't put it off for tomorrow. Okay? All right, guys. God bless you. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is